You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Jude Miller-Burke, business psychologist, executive coach, self-made millionaire, and author of the book, The Millionaire Mystique, How Working Women Become Wealthy, and How You Can Too. Dr. Burke, certainly a privilege to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate being on your show.
And the pleasure is certainly ours as well. Looking forward to our time here this morning. So first of all, you've interviewed over 100 female millionaires for your book, The Millionaire Mystique, and you offer practical tips on achieving success in the workplace using these women you've interviewed as real-life examples. Let's talk about the mental health aspects surrounding these women. Tell us more about your research involving childhood trauma and or adversity and the impact that it has on career and or financial success later in life.
I would love to do that. And I want to start by saying that I had moved from a rural area in around Minneapolis, Minnesota, to a very wealthy suburb in Arizona. But over a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, the men and the women would tell me about the childhood adversity they had experienced. And they were strikingly wealthy here in the suburb. And I heard about childhoods of poverty, child abuse, death of a parent, being financially responsible in the teenage years for providing income to support the family, being first generation American and maybe the only one that spoke English in the family. So I heard these amazing stories and was really struck by them and couldn't help but wonder, as what happened with myself coming from a lower income family. I mean, my parents eventually became very successful, but I was really wondering what took people from their family of origin and how did some people become so successful? And I really wanted to provide that information to as many people as possible. I think you get to a point in your career where you want to give back. And so my book has a lot of practical tips, but it's also based on scientific research. So I did a lot of qualitative interviews, but I also did the research. And so we found these amazing statistically significant patterns. For instance, you're asking about the mental health of the women. The women were highly organized, as were the men, but it sounds like today you'd prefer to talk more about the women. So the women, first of all, would put self-care on their calendar. That was like something that was really important to them, and that included getting the right amount of sleep, you know, the basics, nutrition, taking their vitamins, you know, their essential fatty acids, their minerals, exercise and scheduling their exercise into their weekly calendar. And so they knew on some level that if they weren't highly organized and also organized in terms of their self-care, that they wouldn't be able to accomplish everything that they had to do. In my book, I have a whole chapter, chapter 7, on how to build resilience. So there's a self-assessment where you can actually ask yourself questions to see how resilient you've become and what kind of a job you've done in terms of leaving the worst of your family background behind, but taking the best forward. For instance, there's always someone telling you you can't do something, right? But so many of these women talked about flexibility, being able to change directions in the face of failures or detours, and they were very persistent. So they wouldn't take no for an answer. They're not necessarily people that were argumentative or people that were brash, but they were persistent, quietly persistent. They just kept on moving forward. And they built on their big five personality characteristics, which have been studied probably since the 1950s, and lots of research on it. And our patterns are very similar to what had been found in the past. Conscientiousness was number one. So this is a very conscientious group. They're slightly extroverted, so they make friends easily at work. They're trustworthy and build good relationships with people. Again, and they're open and creative. So when an opportunity comes up, whether it's to make a new job or to build a business, they take that opportunity. And interestingly enough, they're very low on neuroticism, lower than the national norm. So what was fun about doing all this research is that we used standardized measures, and we had all kinds of national norms to compare to. And so this group, a personality emerged, a profile emerged. And so, as I mentioned, the detours were very common, as were failures. So 50% of the women described detours, and 70% described failures. That was also similar for the men. There were lots of gender similarities, lots of gender differences, but what was different is the detours that women had most always had to do with home care, child care, and taking care of other sick family members.
Really interesting. Now let's move on to the all too familiar workplace topic of stress. Research shows that women in the workplace are more stressed than ever before. What are some of your best top tips for women who want to become successful and strengthen their resiliency but are suffering and can't seem to move forward due to being overwhelmed? And if you would, tie in some examples from your book of women who overcame the stress of their past and became business owners and or wealthy.
I think one of the things that can happen is that we read so many books and so many articles on how to manage stress, and we forget some very basic and simple things that are key. For instance, paying attention to how you feel when you are around certain people or in certain situations. If you do that right now, you can probably imagine certain people that you feel very comfortable with and positive about yourself, but then others where it feels very negative. So it's important to pay attention to the work setting you're in and how you feel when you go in the door in the morning, the people you're around, and use that as kind of a barometer of where things are at. Because then you want to make choices in terms of who you choose to be around and who you choose to spend time with. The more you know your values also, the easier it will be to remain stress-free and resilient. And that, for instance, an example would be if you're working for someone who is a liar, who's a chronic liar, but your value system is for honesty, that's going to cause you daily stress. So it's important, if you want to be in an organization that has family-friendly values, that that's the kind of company you're working for. It's important also to enhance your connectedness to other people. It's very important to have a support network. Now, the people that experienced a lot of trauma when they were growing up, and actually, when you had asked me about that a little bit earlier, I wanted to say that one in three of the people I've researched, and I have researched over 300 people, so 100 out of 300 people had experienced either physical or emotional abuse themselves, or witnessed domestic violence in their homes, or had an alcoholic or substance abusing parent. So this is a group that comes from School of Hard Knocks. They're survivors. They've been through a lot, and they've developed a belief in themselves. And this goes for the men and the women, too. So often we think of abuse as just a woman's issue, but many of the men that I interviewed had been abused children also. But they became more resilient, and they survived that, and then they developed a belief in themselves. So at work, then, in terms of dealing with stress, they would befriend people but not get overly involved with people. So there was a pattern of possibly having to have learned really good boundaries to take care of themselves, because, of course, when you come from a chaotic or dysfunctional family, the boundaries between people are very floppy. Everyone gets involved in one another's business. Everyone feels responsible for everyone else's feelings. So they've learned to have some boundaries and have a professional relationship at work, but not necessarily to become over-involved. And, of course, as a leader or a supervisor, it's critical to, I think, use compassionate accountability, which I talk about in my book also in the leadership chapter, where you provide support and understanding to your employees, but at the same time, you don't take on their financial issues and, for instance, loan them money or take their kids and take care of their kids for the weekend. along with reducing stress, to have positive expectations and use humor can be very helpful. Of course, being hopeful is critical to our sense of well-being, and having an overarching mission and goals for our lives makes for less stress, too.
You also discuss addiction and children of alcoholics and addicts. Why do you think there is a parallel between being successful and having origins from a dysfunctional home, witnessing domestic violence, and or having an alcoholic parent?
Well, the point of my new research, and I have a new book that I'm working on, there's not a causal relationship, and I think that's very important to point out. But the message I want to convey to people is it doesn't have to stop you. That if you watch some of the recent TED Talks or read articles in different journals, we're becoming aware that childhood dysfunction, childhood adversity is very common, but yes, it is impactful. So it doesn't necessarily mean it will help you become successful, but the point of my research is that it does not have to derail you. You can still be successful. And most of the people I studied were from lower middle class and low income families. These were not silver spoon people that I studied. And so you can take what you learned. For instance, in terms of all the interviews that I've done, some of the comments from people from them, as you can see, there are some positive behaviors that were learned from being coming from childhood adversity. Many, many of the respondents, men and women, said they're much more compassionate for others than they think most people are. Many of them talked about learning to become very independent, dealing with challenges, because, of course, school was challenging for many of them. When you live with the bear in the living room, so to speak, an abusive mother or father, or if there's alcoholism in the family, that is always with you, and you never know when there's going to be some kind of crisis or some kind of chaos. And so it's hard for the kids to concentrate at school. So many of them had problems at school or problems with authorities while they were growing up, but then straightened out their lives. Entrepreneurism was something that came up regularly, and that for the women, the more abuse they experienced or witnessed, the more likely they were to have their own business.
Today we are joined by Dr. Jude Miller-Burke, business psychologist and executive coach, self-made millionaire, and author of the book, The Millionaire Mystique, How Working Women Become Wealthy and How You Can Too, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Dr. Burke, another aspect of a healthy lifestyle is possessing high self-esteem and confidence. Now, your research shows that people who went through traumatic events are less likely to argue to the point of closure, and women specifically are less likely to appear feminine at work. What are some recommendations for developing confidence as an adult survivor of trauma and becoming successful?
Yes, you're right, Eric, in that the people, both the men and the women, but especially the women, did not report higher self-esteem than the national norm, even though they were very well educated. They had put themselves through many college degrees. They had built businesses. They had raised families. And it speaks to that core struggle you have when you grow up, possibly with verbal abuse. It's a long process. You know, I don't want to make it sound easy that you can easily get over childhood trauma, because it's not the case. But I think you can look at your workplace as an opportunity to develop new relationships and take on new roles. For instance, if you were a caretaker in your family of origin to the expense of yourself, where you really didn't know what your own feelings were and you're always, you know, subservient to the demands of other people. Well, if you go into the workplace and do that, or try to build a business and own a business, and you're not really very directed and you can't stay goal-oriented because you're always consumed with other people's problems, that's going to be an issue for you. So in terms of self-esteem, you can seek counseling. There are books to read. There are wonderful workbooks to use. Meditation and mindfulness can be so helpful, because if you go into work and you're triggered by a situation, So you have floppy boundaries, as we talked about earlier, and you're triggered by a situation, maybe a debate about who's going to get the biggest piece of pie, the most money for the employees' bonuses, holiday bonuses. And there's a big debate, and you go home and you take it personally and you ruminate about it, and you know, you get very concerned about the impact on your self-image, for instance. Or you could choose to go home, leave it at the door, meditate, maybe have a workplace journal, write about it, and then consciously try to let it go and do positive things for yourself. Self-esteem is a whole different show that we could do. I mean, there's so much to say on how to improve your self-esteem. The point I want to make is the workplace can be a place to improve your self-esteem. Your career can help you with your self-esteem. But probably if you come from a family where it wasn't given to you early on, it will be a lifetime journey.
Yeah, I think so too as well. Finally, let's discuss relationships a little further. Another red flag of an unhealthy lifestyle is having a few positive friends in your circle. Can you talk about your research involving women who experience physical or emotional childhood abuse and how it impacts their ability to maintain successful romantic and work relationships? And what would be your advice to women who are experiencing trouble at work or in romance and believe it's due to their past?
Well, again, I think finding a counselor who actually has expertise and is licensed in the area where you need them to be licensed in. For instance, if you are taking your teenager in for counseling because they are abusing drugs, you want to make sure that counselor has that expertise. Or if there is verbal abuse in your marriage or in your partnership, you want to make sure that the counselor, psychologist you're seeing, not only has the appropriate degree and licensure, but also has expertise in that area. And I can't stress that enough. That is just so important, because there are so many professionals that will say they can handle a certain type of problem, but they really don't have expertise in that area. The women, yes, indeed, and who knows if it's because of trying to balance all of the family care, child care, household care, and their careers, more often were likely to get divorced. They had less children, and they were less likely to get married. Now, this group overall, you know, partly because they are all so successful. I mean, this last study I did, everyone, the average income was $250,000 per year, and they also had another $500,000 in the bank for net worth. So it's a very successful, wealthy group. They had very sex-type relationships. So the men who are successful oftentimes had a partner at home or wife at home who was doing most of the household and child care. But the balancing of the two is really critical. And when I speak to young career people, I tell them that the most important decision they can make in terms of their career is who they decide to marry. Because if you marry someone or you have a partner who really supports your career and wants to share in the household and the childcare duties, it reduces stress and it will make a much more successful relationship. So most of the women I interviewed did have successful marriages and did have, you know, great family lives and careers, but it was because they had a partnership with the person they were married to. If so often women and men think that they can feel good, be happy about life, feel good about themselves and successful in their careers while they are in an abusive relationship, and that is absolutely not the case. You can for moments and maybe weeks at a time, but that kind of a stress at home, that kind of chaos or that kind of abuse really takes a toll. And it's not until the individual is out of that kind of a relationship where they realize true peace and happiness.
Well, Dr. Burke, it certainly has been very insightful and quite interesting as well. Tell our listeners where they can find you online and to also be in touch as well.
I have a Facebook page, The Millionaire Mystique Facebook, also The Millionaire Mystique book, which has all kinds of self-assessments and practical tips sold on Amazon.com and also at independent bookstores. And I really want to encourage people to read it. I mean, it's very much a how-to book, but it's soundly based on interviews with people who have become successful and also in scientific research.
Well, Dr. Berg, once again, thanks for your time today and for spending a moment with us on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
We've been speaking with Dr. Jude Miller-Burke, business psychologist, executive coach, self-made millionaire, and author of the book, The Millionaire Mystique, How Working Women Become Wealthy and How You Can Too. And once again, the website of reference is judemillerburke.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for
thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the EPodcast Network.